You know, we're instructed in the Bible to give thanks to God. In Psalm 92, verse 1, the Bible says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. In Psalm 100, many call the Thanksgiving Psalm, but Psalm 100, verse 4, the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. And I put a little piece in the bulletin this morning. Sometimes we don't give thanks for the trials and tribulations that God lets come into our life, but we need to be thankful for those as well. Because it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then our text, verse 2 of Psalm 95, where the Bible says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And I believe that this is an instruction not only to Christians, but I believe it's an instruction to all men, to every person. Because you see, God is good to every person. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And God is a good God to every single person, and every single person needs to be thankful to God. But we as Christians need to lead the way. We that name Christ as our Savior, we need to come before him with thanksgiving. Now, sometimes we get like old King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that story in Daniel where he was walking around the city of Babylon one day and he was looking at all the things that was in the city of Babylon, and he said to himself, look at everything that I have made. And sometimes even we as Christians look at the blessings in our life, and instead of giving God the credit, we try to take credit for ourselves. You know the price that Nebuchadnezzar paid. He lost his mind and went out to live with the animals for a number of seasons until God finally restored his reasoning and restored him to his kingdom. But that story, a true story by the way, is a good illustration of what it means when the Bible says pride goeth before the fall. And we need to be careful as Christians to know that every blessing that we have in our life, everything we have in our life, even those things that we may call trials and tribulations and heartaches, everything is allowed or comes from God, and we need to come before his presence with thanksgiving. And so this morning, I want to give you 7 reasons why. 7 reasons why every Christian should come before the Lord with thanksgiving. So you can sort of keep track of how far along I am in my sermon, because I have 7 points. And so when I get to number 7, you can say to yourself, well, he's about to put the wings down or put the wheels down and land. Just stay awake, pay attention, because every single one of us need to come before the Lord's presence with thanksgiving. Number 1, because we are forgiven of our sins. All of us are sinners. We got our sin nature from Adam. Not this Adam, but the Adam that's in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Today is Pick on Adam Day. But we got our sin nature from Adam. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we got that sin nature from Adam. And every single one of us came to a time in our life where we recognized the difference between right and wrong. We came to a time in our life where we knew that this action was right and this action was wrong. We came to a time in our life where we knew this decision is good and this decision is bad. We came to a time in our life where we knew this way is righteous and this way is evil. And we chose wrong. We chose bad. We chose evil. I want you to know something this morning and realize something this morning. God did not make you a sinner. You made a choice, and I made a choice that made us sinners. And the Bible's right when it says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's right when it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner. And the best person in this room this morning, whoever that is, the best person in this room this morning is a sinner. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from God. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, don't eat the fruit. Because the day that you eat the fruit, you'll die. And the day that Adam ate the fruit, he did die spiritually. God kicked him out of the Garden of Eden. God separated Adam from himself. And Adam paid the price for his decision. I mean, he knew. God said, don't eat the fruit. Adam knew, hey, the right decision would be not to eat the fruit. The wrong decision would be to eat it. And Adam became a sinner the same way we do, by making a choice. Knowing the difference between right and wrong and choosing wrong. Knowing the difference between good and evil and choosing evil. He made a choice and God separated himself from him. But praise God, I stand before you this morning a sinner whose sins have all been forgiven. I stand before you this morning a sinner who in God's sight has never sinned. If you could go up to heaven this morning and you could go to the record book that God keeps, the book of life, and you could look in that book at my record, you will not find a sin written on my record. In fact, on my record, what you would find is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So I come before God this morning with thanksgiving. And every Christian here this morning should come with thanksgiving before their God because their sins have been forgiven. Now some of you might say this morning, preacher, I know you. How can that be? How can your record in heaven reflect no sins? Which brings me to my second point. I come before God this morning with thanksgiving, number two, because I have been saved. When Jesus went to Calvary, God took all my sins and placed them on his Son. And on the cross, Jesus paid the price for every one of my sins. I am not forgiven and saved because I'm good. I am not forgiven and saved because of who I am. I am forgiven and saved this morning because of who God is. I am forgiven and saved this morning because God is good. It says in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I come before God this morning with thanksgiving because my sins have been forgiven and I'm saved. Now, if you're here this morning and you can't testify to either one of those, and by the way, you can't have one without the other. If you're saved, your sins are forgiven. You say, preacher, I'm not in that case. I'm not saved. My sins are not forgiven. Then you need to come before God this morning and you need to be thankful for his mercy. Because he's let you live until this moment so you can come to this place and you can hear that you're a sinner and you can hear there's a penalty for that sin and you can hear that Jesus Christ paid the penalty and you can hear that if you ask him, he'll save you. And that's true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you ask him this morning, my Savior will save you right now, this moment, before this service is over, right now, in the twinkling of an eye, If you bow your heart and lift your heart toward heaven and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I believe that old preacher when he says there's a penalty for that sin. And I believe him when he says that you paid the penalty. And I believe him when he says that if I'd ask you, you'd save me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Would you save me, dear Jesus? He'll do it right now. Right now, he'll take you just like you are, and he'll save you. And so, and I encourage you to do it right now. I wouldn't wait till the invitation. The Lord may come before I get through preaching. He may come before the clock strikes 12. And if you're here right now and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, bow your heart right now and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. And he will. He will. So I come before his presence with thanksgiving this morning because I've been forgiven, because I'm saved. Number three, because I am secure. Secure. I have eternal life. I have everlasting life. And there ain't no one or nobody that can take it away from me. The Bible says I am sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You that are here this morning that don't believe you have eternal security. You that are here this morning that believe that there's something you can do to lose your salvation. Who is it that can pry open the hand of Jesus Christ and pluck you out of his hand? Who is it that can pry open the hand of God the Father and pluck you out of his hand? Who is it that has the strength to break the seal of the Holy Spirit? No one can. No one will. If you're saved this morning, you are secure. You are on your way to heaven. And there ain't nobody or no thing that can take it away from you. We are secure. We come with thanksgiving because we've been forgiven. We've been saved. We're secure. Number four, we can pray. We can pray. I have access to the throne room. I have access to the Father. I have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have an invitation from God the Father to come boldly before his presence and make my petitions known unto him. And I don't know about you, I can get excited thinking about that. To think that the one that spoke this universe into existence, to think that the one that holds it all together, to think that God has invited me to come boldly before his presence and to seek help in time of need. You listen to me. I've said it many, many times from this pulpit. I don't know how people that don't know Jesus Christ make it in this world. I don't know with all the problems that are, that come just from normal living, and all the heartaches and all the hurts and all the pain and the things that are just part of life. I don't know how a person that doesn't have access to God the Father can make it in this world. I mean, there are people all over this room this morning that need God's help. And we need to come before his presence with thanksgiving because we can go to him in those times that we need help. And we can fall before him and we can pray to a God that hears and answers prayer. You see, God made me a promise that I can claim as often as I want to claim it. God made me a promise that I can claim 18 times a day if I need it 18 times a day. And it's a promise whose power will never run out. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. There are some things going on that I don't know the answer to. There are some things going on that I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I have a God who can. And he says, you call unto me. And even though you can't see the answer, you can't see how it's going to come out, I can. I can. And in answer to your prayer, I will show you those great and mighty things that you know not. And so I come before his presence this morning with thanksgiving, because number one, I've been forgiven. My sins have been forgiven. I'm saved. I'm secure. I can pray. And number five, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Where would you start? We sang that song, Count Your Blessings. But where do we start? God has been so generous. So generous. Where would you start? Would you start with your family? Would you thank God for your spouse, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren? Would you thank him for your friends? That's a gift from him. Would you thank him for your health? Say, preacher, I don't have health. Yes, you do. You tell me you don't have health this morning, you come with me this afternoon, I'll show you four or five people that have it worse than you do. I know some of you are struggling with health problems, but I would remind you, God knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. And you can thank him and praise him for the health that you have. We ought to thank him for the freedom that we enjoy in this country, for the food that he provides, and for the shelter and the clothes that he provides. I was thinking about this last night, and I just got excited. I thank God that I can see. I thank God that I can see. I thank him that I can hear. I thank him that I can taste and I can smell and I can touch. Sometimes we take our senses for granted, but they're a gift that comes from God. And even the things that we would choose to avoid, the things that we would say, no, I don't want this to come into my life, the struggles that make us stronger, the defeats that make us more determined, the heartaches that draw us closer to God, we need to thank him for all of those things. I was sitting at home last night, and I was just going down the list, and I was thinking about all the things that God has given me, and that little course came to my heart and my mind. That little course that goes like this: the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are flowing tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. I could listen, every single one of us, if we got in the right mind frame, could spend the next 36 hours just thanking God for the blessings that he sent into our life, and we wouldn't scratch the surface. We wouldn't scratch the surface. I'm happy. Not the happiness that results from happenings, but the joy that Brother Leonard was talking about Thursday night to our senior saints. The joy that comes from God that the world cannot take away. I'm blessed. I come with thanksgiving because I've been forgiven. I'm saved. I'm secure. I can pray. I'm blessed. Number six, I can serve. I can serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, ye are ambassadors for Christ. I get to represent the God who created the universe. I get to represent as his ambassador the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What a privilege. What an opportunity. God has given me responsibilities. He's given you responsibilities. He's given me opportunities. He's given you opportunities to represent him in this world. And I want to do, and I hope you want to do exactly what Jesus said for us to do in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where he said, let your light so shine that before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we need to come before God with thanksgiving this morning because he gives us the opportunity to serve. To serve. So I come with thanksgiving. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm secure. I can pray. I'm blessed. I can serve. And number seven, I have a home in heaven. I have a home in heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and get you. So where I am, there ye may be also. I don't know how I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know if it'll be by way of death or it will be by way of the rapture. I don't know. But I do know this. One day, Jesus will come and get me. And he will take me home with him to heaven. And I know this. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm going to live in heaven with my God and with my Savior forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So I come with thanksgiving. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm secure. I can pray. I'm blessed. I can serve. I have a home in heaven. Now what about you? What about you? You can have all these things, all seven of these things. You can have them all. But the only way you can have them is to come to Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get anything, any of these things, apart from Jesus Christ. The only way you get them is to come to him. And so if you're here this morning, we made it to the end of the service. The Lord didn't come. We made it to invitation time. God's given you a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and then make a public confession of it. To walk down the aisle and let everybody that's here this morning know, hey, I just asked Jesus to save me. Just ask him to forgive me of my sins. Would you do that this morning? We have three folks that are going to get baptized. Your baptism is saying the same thing. Hey, I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. I've been saved. And I can't think of a better day to make that decision than the Sunday before Thanksgiving in the year 2010. Can't think of a better day to ask Jesus to be your Savior than right now. So if you're here and you've never done it, just do it. Just do it. You can do it right where you're at. Again, just need to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I believe you died for me. Right now I'm asking you to be my Savior. If you pray that prayer, then in just a second when we give the invitation, would you just get up from your seat and come down and I'll tell everybody what you did. That's what God says we need to do. We need to confess him before men. So if you're not saved, get saved. If you say, preacher, I don't understand it, will you come in just a second? I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come before you with thanksgiving for all the things that you've done in our life. And I pray now for this time of invitation. I just pray, Father, that for those that are here that don't know Jesus, that they would see the truth that they are a sinner and that there's a penalty for that sin. But that when Christ went to the cross, he paid for the penalty. He paid the price. And if we'd ask him this morning, he'd save us. I pray you'd help every person who's never done that to do it right now. And then, Father, as they do it, help them to walk the aisle. Share what they've done so that we can rejoice with them. Speak to our hearts as Christians this morning. Father, if there's things in our life that shouldn't be there, help us to get rid of them. If there's things that should be that aren't, help us to get them. Just do in our lives this morning, Holy Spirit, what only you can do. And we'll give Jesus all the praise. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.